So Daniel's been catching up with a chap called James from Head Office in Compassion, who's involved with the project that we're involved with as well as others. So we're going to go and join them on their video chat now and hear that.
Good, well, morning and welcome to James from Compassion, who's joined us to just give us a bit of an update of some of the work that Compassion are doing, and also just a bit of an update on how Compassion are coping with the kind of COVID situation internationally, and particularly maybe in the Kenya project. But so welcome, James. Welcome to our service, and maybe just tell us a little bit about who you are and how we've kind of managed to get to this point.
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you, Daniel. Looking forward to this. It's a weird world that we're living in right now, of course, where everything is done digitally. And I don't know about you, but increasingly, I think folks are really looking forward to the day when they'll meet face-to-face again. There'll be a great celebration. But we thank God for this technology, because it does enable us to still connect and share fellowship together. Compassion, we're due to be at Living Waters on the 7th of June. Unfortunately, obviously, the world has changed since that was arranged, hence we're doing this. I've been with Compassion about 4 years, and I'm head of partnerships for the region, which basically means anything that happens with Compassion, whether it be through a church relationship with this one or an event. So, for example, when a new wine was down in Somerset, I'd be sort of responsible for that as well. So thoroughly enjoying the role, love it. And even in this situation today, still loving it, even though the way we meet is somewhat different. But thank God for the technology in the first place. 10 years ago, we wouldn't have been able to do this.
Yeah, absolutely. It's it is good, and as you say, it's not the same, but at least we're making the best of it. So obviously, you know, as a church, we've got quite a large proportion of people have sponsored children from Kenya Project, but we've also got you know, some kids from other projects as well, or, you know, people who've historically done some stuff. So, what are the challenges for maybe for Kenya, if you know that, but also what are the challenges for Compassion sort of internationally? Because, we want to pray not just for our own little interest, but maybe, you know, kind of for the wider things as well. So,
We can't have a conversation nowadays without talking about COVID-19, because that has changed our world everywhere. There are no exceptions. Everywhere has been impacted by this. And, you know, living in Witney in Oxfordshire, I'm aware that my little world has changed. But in some ways, there's some benefits to that. But in the main, I think we're all starting to feel how the challenges and they're mounting up. And no one wants to minimise how difficult it is to live through the isolation and the difficult challenges that might come with COVID-19 here in the UK. But if I can just try and paint a picture of what that means in the developing world, in the 25 countries in particular where Compassion works, we have, and we're all calling the NHS heroes now, and we're out there clapping on a Thursday evening. We have so many benefits in this country that will enable us to come through this. Yes, we've got health service. Yes, we'll get food on our table. Yes, we'll have a roof over our heads. But actually, many of the countries in which we work, the three biggest challenges because of COVID-19 are exactly those. They are, how do you get food on your table when you cannot work? The government has said, we want you to socially isolate. We don't want you traveling. You cannot work. Well, if you don't work, you don't eat. And that means you and your children and your extended family. And you can go for days not eating. Equally, how do you socially isolate when you're living cheek by jowl? There's six or seven of you in a small 12 by 10 room. And your next door neighbour is maybe not a wall. It's a cardboard wall or a curtain even. How do you socially isolate in those situations? So hygiene and the best that we can do in those environments. And thirdly, How do you put a roof over your head when you can't afford the rent? So these three things in particular right now are the focus of not only Compassion, but many other organisations that are working in these developing worlds, because COVID-19 is difficult for us, not getting away from that. But if you're living in that environment, when you may not have a roof over your head, you may not eat tomorrow, and actually you have to socially isolate and it's almost impossible, how do you have health and hygiene? So we are pretty much focusing all our efforts on that today. And we're doing that in two ways. First of all, for those 43 children that those who are at Living Waters are sponsoring, and you're right, most of those are from one project in Kenya, in a place called Kisumu. The sponsorship money that those 43 folks are so generously, continually committed to make each month, even in spite of the situation that we're in today, we are having to channel that money into those three areas that we talked about earlier, because the schools aren't open. The projects are not open. The children can't come together and get education and teaching and the support that we would normally do through a normal project, a development centre. What they need right now is health, hygiene and shelter. And so we have decided as an organisation in all of the countries in which we work that we're going to take those sponsorship monies and we're going to redirect them to those three very basic needs that will enable those families to come through this situation on the other side. That's one way that we are looking to do that. And, you know, just tagged on to that, you know, we are a development organisation. We want to see children and families become independent. And everything that we do is about developing them to get skills and education. Well, when at this moment in time, the most important thing that we can do is to help those families and children to survive in order to bring back to them again that opportunity to develop their lives to the fullest in the way that God wants them to. But the second way which we are directing funds is we've also just in the last 2 weeks launched a COVID-19 emergency appeal. And we're looking to raise £500,000 across the UK. Compassion International are doing this across all of the donor countries. And it's the, I don't know the full amount that we're looking to raise, but we in the UK are committed to funding £500,000 between now and the end of June to see those three basic needs being met even further across the communities in where we work. So that would enhance to the most vulnerable, to the poorest of the poor, where there are maybe children with special needs, where there are pregnant mums and children of very small infants. How do they make sure that they get their hygiene and their nutrition and keep a roof over their head? So that's the reason for the COVID-19 emergency appeal. And you'll find lots of details of that on our website. And so those two ways, that's the main efforts at this moment in time where we're having to adapt to the COVID-19 coronavirus world. And particularly for Kenya, Kenya is one of those countries which, you know, we have got a long history with Kenya. Compassion has a long history with Kenya. We see great things done. And as a country, it is developing and developing quite quickly. However, there are still some of the biggest slums in the world are in Nairobi and in Kenya. In fact, I was there in November. And just share one story with you. I was there in November with a church leaders group. And we were taken to a place called Matari in Nairobi, a small, well, I thought it was going to be a small area within Nairobi. It is relatively small. It's only about 5 kilometres square. There are 800,000 people living in that 5 kilometres square. And we were taken to meet one of the sponsored children. And we were a group. And there's as many, maybe you know, but you go to a slum area and it's quite wide at first. You can drive down. Okay, the roads are a bit bumpy and whatever. You can drive down and it gets narrower and narrower until eventually you've got to go by foot. And we went through this whole process, and we got so the we were walking along a pavement and then along a very narrow alleyway to the point where you couldn't actually turn to the side. You had to just, you know, sometimes we were on our side to get through this. We eventually came to this small group of dwellings, can't call them homes or houses, a small group of dwellings. And there we were introduced to a young chap called Samuel, who is a sponsored child. And we met him, and we were told that we were going to meet him and his mum where they live. And so we got to this these small dwellings, and they took us to the long drop. Now, the long drop, you can imagine what the long drop is. It's the communal toilet. And we went into the long drop, and I'm thinking, well, I thought we were going to meet Samuel and his mum. Well, there was this long drop toilet. You can imagine it's a facility shared by hundreds of people. And we're in this, in the heat, and you can begin to imagine the smell, the sounds, the colour. And we just looked to our left, and there was a curtain there. And in this, behind this curtain was Samuel and his mum. They were living in a long drop toilet. That was all they could afford. And when you see things like that, you realise that for all the development that's going on in Kenya, there's still much to do. So for those 43 children that you are sponsoring as a fellowship, your sponsorship, your commitment, your ministry to them is making a tremendous difference. And so in Kenya, there's still a lot to be done. But if everything we've talked about, coronavirus and COVID, if I add one other thing, Eastern Africa are expecting the worst plague of locusts in over 50 years. Now, that might not sound very dramatic, but if you think back to Exodus and the Bible days, and the plague of locusts come, and they strip, literally strip everything, vegetation, whether it's mature, whether it's just been planted. And so to add to all of the challenges that they already have, places like Kenya, Ethiopia, Uganda, and East Africa, they're facing a plague of locusts that will strip whatever food is going to be available. They're going to eat it even before it reaches the shops. So that's another reason why we really need to support what's going on in East Africa. And your sponsorship monies are supporting. Sometimes these things can seem so big, so enormous. What difference can I make when we're talking about hundreds of thousands of people, a plague, a famine, a this, a that, or the other? God has given us the privilege to reach out to the one. What can we do for the one? For the one, the Samuel living in the long drop toilet. His sponsor is going to change Samuel's life and his mom's life and his siblings' lives. The one that you're sponsoring, you're changing their life. So never underestimate what the one can do for the one. Whether it's in your local community in Clevedon and Portishead and around there, or whether it's further afield, God has called us to look for the one. He often ministered to the one, to the blind, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. Ministered to the one, made a difference to the one that impacted communities and beyond. So that's how Compassion is having to adapt what we do. The one, there are three things that haven't changed. We are still focused first and foremost on Christ. He is our reason. He is the why we do what we do. He's given us a commission, and he is the center of what we do. If he wasn't there, we wouldn't do it. Yeah. Christ first. Child focused. It's about the child, because if we get the child young enough, lives can change, whole families can change. And thirdly, it's church based. We believe in the local church. And your local church, I know, is working hard in your area to help people in your community to get some relief in this coronavirus world in which we live. And the local church in Kenya is doing exactly the same. Quite a number of relief agencies are having to see their people come home to protect them. Well, our people are Kenyans, or Ugandans, or Ethiopians. They're living there. They're working there, they're ministering there. And so Christ at the first, child focused, church-based, those three things don't change, even if how we have to modify what we do does.
No, that's, yeah, that's brilliant. I mean, it's great to just get that perspective and again, be reminded of just that, you know, keeping focused on the individual, because you're right, we're easily overwhelmed just kind of, yeah, just even in the local community, you can feel just overwhelmed. So yeah, that is really useful. I mean, you mentioned there that you've kind of visited in Kenya. We've got we were starting to put together a trip that from the church and talking about people who could go. What would you say to someone if they were thinking or not quite sure whether they should go or not quite sure what to expect? What would you be saying to people in terms of a potential visit to Kenya and their sponsored child?
It's a very interesting question, Daniel. And pre-COVID, there would have been probably two answers to that. The first one would have been, you want to go, we can, as a church and as a group within the church, we can help to make that happen. And we can help you to meet your sponsored children, to spend time at the project, to spend time at the church and have an experience that will change your life. It will change your whole perspective. And I remember the first time I went to a Compassion project 4 years ago, and I came back, and it was just before Christmas, and Christmas was changed for me. I saw things that I had never experienced before, and I'd done a lot of traveling, but never to that type of environment. It does change your perspective. It brings real value to you, long-lasting value, because it helps you keep things in perspective. The other part of the answer would have been, however, whilst that visit will benefit you, and it will also benefit the project and the child that you visit, because you'll give them a memory that will last forever. It will put a face, it will take your relationship with your sponsored child to another level. And I've done that. I've met one of my sponsored children, and it did take the relationship to another level. The letters changed, they were much warmer, they were more personal. But I also felt a little bit guilty. I spent a lot of money to go and visit my sponsored child. And if I had decided to take that money and invest it in the kingdom in another way, would that have made more of a difference to a project, to a church? So these are important things to wrestle with. Mm. I'm not saying don't do it.
No.
But at the same time, there are lots of ways in which you can bless your sponsored children in the project. Of course, we're post-COVID, or we will be. We as an organisation love taking leaders and church groups to the field. We love to see the impact that it makes both for them and for the folks who are there, and we just love to meet the sponsors. However, that's not going to be possible for the next who knows how long. Yeah. We're anticipating at least a year where we will not travel, where we will not fly, where we won't be able to visit projects. And even if we're able to go, will they be able to receive us?
Yeah.
So we are anticipating that those sorts of things will not be able to happen for at least a year, possibly longer. If we are able to do them again in the foreseeable future, of course we will look to do it.
Yeah.
But another thing that we are looking at is, how can we have a digital experience of a sponsored trip?
Yeah.
There's got to be ways of doing that. We're learning digital. 8 weeks ago, you can, if you'd have said to me, I want you to Zoom call, and I thought you were talking about some cartoon, you know, sort of Zoom, something like that, I wouldn't have had a clue what you were talking about. We've come a long way in 8 weeks, and we're just exploring ways in which we can bring a truly digital experience as much as we can. It's not the same. We understand it's not the same. But that would help also to bring colour and story and perspective to a sponsor in a way that we have not been able to do before, other than by visiting. And who knows, maybe folks will opt for that instead of visiting, and then say, I can channel that funding into something else for the kingdom.
No, it's that's very good. That's a really interesting perspective, and I think you're right. You know, we're talking about changing working patterns, changing traveling. You know, yeah, who knows whether flights and everything else is even going to be possible, let alone, you know, let alone a good use of resources. So it is. It's a recalibration of everything we've kind of taken as a normal. So yeah, look, James, it's been brilliant having you give us some of those details. We on a monthly basis pray for our kids, pray for compassion, and this today will give us just you know, a lot more and to pray for and to know about. I'm going to I will put the link for this the COVID appeal, and we'll have that out there so that we can really be part of that. And I think I know personally, you know, we haven't, like you said, we haven't been using the car, we haven't been driving around, and therefore there is sort of extra money, even in the, maybe the tightest budget, that we can put towards that. So yeah, it's a great challenge. It's a great thing. And yeah, you know, please thank you for all that you're doing. Thank you for all that compassion are doing at head office and everywhere else you're doing it and having to change, because I know what it's like to change systems and have to suddenly think on your feet. We're doing it in one small organization and you're doing it internationally. So yeah, thank you for your time.
It's been my pleasure. I want to thank you for the opportunity of just sharing some of those things and sharing the story. And if folks just want to have a look at the website, there's lots of very short videos of really heartwarming stories of good news about what's happening today. And that's my other phone going. So it's probably, I've started, so I'll finish, as Magnus used to say. And I'll just, maybe if you don't mind, just pray for us briefly and then sign off. Would that be okay?
That'd be great.
Yeah, Lord, we give you thanks. Well, we have much to be thankful for. Yes, there are challenges. Yes, there's this world in which we're living, which is so strange to us now. But Lord, you are in this world. Your presence is there, and where your presence is, there can be peace. There can be that sense of assurance. So Lord, I want to thank you for Living Waters, for the whole congregation of folks there, that body that's looking to serve and minister locally. Just pray that you'll give them health, strength, well-being. Keep them safe as they look to reach out to the community. And Lord, for those who are sponsoring and looking after you, Lord, thank you for those that are investing in the children as well. So Lord, let your kingdom be built. Let your kingdom come, we pray. Let your will be done for the glory of your namesake. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Yeah, really appreciate that. Wonderful.
My pleasure.
So there we go, that's wrapping up Mission 4 for this month. It's been great to be able to share with you, and probably we'll be here again next month, to be honest. So let's see where we go, but stay safe, God bless you, and I hope to see you all soon. Bye now. Oh.